This is University Beats. I'm Mark Schreiner. Every year, Popular Science magazine comes out with a list it calls its Brilliant 10, 10 of the brightest young scientific minds. And this year, a researcher from the USF College of Marine Science has made this prestigious list. Maya Breitbart, an associate professor of biological oceanography, leads a lab that's created groundbreaking ways to identify and fight illnesses caused by viruses. We'll find out more about that work in a moment, but first, Professor, congratulations on the honor.
Thank you so much.
Now, what's it like being named one of the Brilliant 10 by Popular Science? How'd you find out about it?
I actually found out about it a couple of months ago when I got an email from Popular Science letting me know, and it was very exciting, although there's a terrible embargo wait period that you have to wait before you can tell anyone. But I'm really excited about it because I grew up reading Popular Science. I know there's millions of people out there that read Popular Science, and this is a great way for what I'm doing to get out to the general public and hopefully to inspire others to get into this field.
We're also joined by your boss, College of Marine Science Dean Jacqueline Dixon. Dean, what are your thoughts on the honor? What does it say for Dr. Breitbart's work?
It's just a fantastic way for my Breitbart to get the recognition she deserves. We're so proud of all the work that she's done, and it represents the incredible breadth of talent that we have at the College of Marine Science and at USF.
Yeah, you talk about the breadth of talent. What kind of effect does having this kind of faculty mean for the college?
Well, I have to say, when people think about higher education, there's a lot of talk about just students in the classroom and online courses. And at the graduate level, at master's and PhD, research is education. And it is the cutting edge research in the classroom, in the lab, on the ship, out in the field, hands-on mentoring of students that gives us leaders in the field for the future.
Professor Breitbart, let's talk a little bit about your work. You identify viruses through DNA analysis. It's also called metagenomics. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the techniques you're using and what's groundbreaking about it?
Viruses are really tricky to identify. They're absolutely everywhere. So in just a drop of seawater, you can have 10 million viruses. Obviously, people know about viruses that make them sick or their pets sick or their plants sick. But they're really tricky to study because they're so diverse. Some of them have DNA genomes. Some of them have RNA genomes. We don't have any one test that we can go out there and just apply and say, yes, that has a virus and here's what it is. And so what my work does is we go out and we can start with any field sample you want. So we've done this with gallons and gallons of seawater from the middle of the Sargasso Sea. We've done this with human feces. We've done it with plants and invertebrates. We can start with that sample. We purify the virus particles, and then we extract all of their genetic material and sequence that. And by doing that, it lets us see what types of viruses are present in a sample. And that's actually let us find everything from potential new indicators for fecal pollution in coastal waters to just this year, one of my graduate students, through a collaboration, we discovered the first viruses in copepods, which are the most abundant animals in the ocean.
Now, what are you doing, though, that's different than the way it's been done before? What is getting people's attention with your work?
So typically, the search for a virus is a series of tests, one at a time. So you'll have a test for a specific virus. You can go in and say, yes or no, there's influenza in the sample. If you get a no, then you need to, you know, work your way down the list. And you could run hundreds of these different tests. Our method lets us not go in looking for a specific virus, but just see whatever's there. And we can do this not only with individual hosts, but most recently, we've been developing a technique called vector-enabled metagenomics. So the idea with this is that, let's say you wanted to look at a plant virus. You could go out and sample lots of different sick plants of all different species and see what's there. What we do is actually collect the insect vectors that are responsible for transmitting lots of viruses. So we can do this with whiteflies. We can do this with mosquitoes. We've even done it with dragonflies, which are top insect predators and feed on all flying insects. And by doing that, we basically use them as flying syringes to go out and collect the samples for us. They can sample from many, many different hosts, both sick and healthy. And then we can tell you what kind of viruses are circulating in the area. And that's really important because ideally you'd want some sort of heads up, right, before you're going to have an emergence of a viral infection. And we often don't notice that until we've already experienced a lot of economic loss. And so this gives us an idea of a baseline for what's in an area. And I think that's one of the things that's really different is we're not just interested in what virus is, you know, causing a disease in this sick animal, but also what's the normal baseline of viruses that are out there in the population so that when you do have something like a marine mammal mortality event, you can identify what's new and what's causing a problem.
How much of it is is the technology catching up with the ideas, and how much of it is the ideas are fresh and new and haven't been considered before?
A lot of these ideas are actually new, and we're enabled by the technology. And so our ability to sequence has gotten, you know, much better, and sequencing has gotten much cheaper over time, which has let us do more of these things. But certainly with the vector-enabled metagenomics, I think that's a really new idea. So instead of going into the individual host, if we can sample mosquitoes and find out, you know, what viruses the mosquitoes are carrying, instead of going into humans or deer or all these different animals, it's sort of a unique way of collecting and finding perspective on what's there.
Dr. Dixon, one of the things that Dr. Breitbart touched on there was the idea of also that students are working in the lab with her. How important is that in getting the students educated this way and getting them the education on these new high-tech manners while they're still students even?
It's essential. And Maya, I've also recommended her for a top mentor award. She's not just a great researcher. She is wonderful with the students. And she has everything from undergraduates, master's students, and PhD students in her lab. And in research, that's your team. It really is a team effort. And Maya's the team leader, but she really is a wonderful mentor for these students. And these students will go on to continue developing their own labs and their own programs in this cutting-edge research. So it's not just training students for jobs, it's training students for careers.
Maya, both your parents were scientists. How do they take having, you know, one of the brilliant 10 in their family? And did they push her, or was it something that you just kind of took to naturally?
I guess it's a combination of both of those things. My parents are thrilled about this award. My mom still works in the high school that I went to high school at, and she's been carrying around the library's copy of Popular Science all week, showing it to all my old teachers. And I think that's absolutely wonderful, because in addition to the students, and I kind of want to expand on that, because all of the things that I told you about were, you know, these are first author publications by students. It's students that are driving the ideas, the students that are out there, you know, getting their hands dirty in the field, collecting the samples, analyzing the data. And in some ways, it's unfair that I get all of the credit while they're sitting there. And they're not on the radio right now. They're in the lab grinding up samples and sequencing things. But my parents are really excited about the award. And I think it's been great also to sort of go back to a lot of my early mentors and thank them for the direction they pushed me in. My parents were scientists, which is great. I'm one of the few people that I know that can publish a scientific research paper, send it to my parents, and have them understand it. And that's something I think hardly anyone can do. And so I love that. But that being said, I have a younger brother who was not interested in science and didn't pursue a science career. So I think my parents gave me a lot of opportunities. And for that, I'm grateful. I still remember my dad coming home with dry ice and playing with dry ice and bubbles in the sink. And, you know, those are the things that get you excited. My mom taught the science after school club at my school, but I was never pushed into science. I think I was always encouraged and supported, but not pushed.
Yeah, and also some of that support came through the Girl Scouts as well. How important was that in your upbringing?
Girl Scouts has been really important throughout my entire life. I started, you know, when I was just a brownie in Girl Scouts really early on. And I think unlike a lot of troops, and had I been in one of these troops, I might not have made it, where you focus on homemaker things and arts and crafts. I had absolutely an outdoor camping, you know, exploring, hiking, biking, canoeing troop. And my mom was actually my troop leader for a lot of those years. But through early Girl Scout trips was actually a lot of where I got my marine biology exposure. So I did a trip where I worked, volunteered with a sea turtle nesting project in North Carolina. And we went out and I saw my first sea turtle nest hatch. And I still remember that night because that's one of those things that just, it seals your love of the oceans. I also went on a research vessel in the Great Lakes and got to experience, you know, hands-on what it would be like to be a marine scientist. And so I give Girl Scouts a lot of credit for that. And I'm trying to give back a lot through my involvement with Girl Scouts now. So we've set up a marine science lab at Camp Wailani, which is a Girl Scout camp here. And we've run several outreach events for local Girl Scouts. Because I think while I was fortunate to have parents who know a lot about science and gave me a lot of opportunities, I think lots of girls out there are interested but need these role models. And I think it's important to a little bit shatter that image that everyone has of a scientist and show them that, you know, well, I don't know if I can call myself cool, but that cool young female scientists are out there, right? And that we have lives outside of the lab, that you can have a family and be a scientist, that you can have other interests and be a scientist, and that there's really exciting opportunities here.
Maya Breitbart, an associate professor of biological oceanography and one of the brilliant 10, according to Popular Science. Jacqueline Dixon, dean of the USF College of Marine Science, thank you for joining us on University Beat.
Thank you, Mark.